ओम शांति। 12th of January 2019, टुडे इज सैटरडे। विस्पर्स फ्रॉम बियॉन्ड। द एफर्ट फॉर टुडे। फादर ब्रह्मा हैज मर्ज्ड ऑल द माइंड इन वन माइंड। माइंड इज वन फादर एंड नन अदर। Follow the Father in this way, and in this way, your power of concentration will increase. Then your mind will become concentrated wherever you want, as you want, for however long you want, in whichever way. With the power of concentration, you will automatically experience the constant and stable angelic stage. So today's effort is, Father Brahma has merged all the mind in one mind. And what is that one mind? Mind is one Father and none other. And if you follow the Father in this manner, what will happen? Your power of concentration will increase. And then your mind is concentrated. Then whatever you want, wherever you want, and as you want, and for how long you want, you will achieve that. And gradually the constant and the stable angelic stage will come to you. So Baba is telling to merge all the mind in one mind. There's a lot of expansion of this mind throughout our life. We are attached to some persons, we are attached to places, we are attached to objects, we are attached to things, we are attached to whatever that comes in our contact. And because of this attachment and because of this expansion, the mind starts wandering here and there. And such a mind, which is attached to 100 things, cannot remain focused. And for spirituality, you need a very, very concentrated, very focused mind. It's not the question of who is more intelligent and who is less intelligent. It's not about that. It's about focus. A person might be very much intelligent, but if his mind is divided, he cannot achieve success. While there is another person who is not very intelligent and yet he focuses on only one thing at a time, so the success comes there. In the similar manner, in the path of spirituality, which is the path of detachment, which is the path of complete focus on God and oneself. So the most important thing is this power of concentration. So when I say that mind, one must really explore what is really mine in this world. Is there anything in this world which is really mine? Is there any person in this world who is really mine? This is a thing of great contemplation. Who is mine in this whole world? The people whom I call my own, are they my own? The things which I think are mine, are they really mine? Or it is just a deception, it is just an illusion that I feel that this person is mine and this thing is mine and this place is mine and this money is mine. This is a long-standing illusion that we are having, that things are mine, when in fact nothing is mine. This is a very beautiful statement in one's greatest hour of need. One stands alone. In one's greatest hour of need, one stands alone. If there is a friend and who has always supported you, but then when you need him the most, he is not available. There's some person who is always with you, but you need him the most at particular time, that time he says, I can't help you. So such things should definitely induce some vairag for worldly souls, because all worldly souls have got their own limitations. They cannot be with us for whole life. They cannot give us guarantee that they will be with us. It is our own deluded mind that thinks that people are mine. But one must remember this chapter or this lesson of walking alone. So wherever you are, it's walk alone. Ekla chalo re. None is going to follow you and none is going to be with you except one God. Then what is the point of running after people? What is the point of pleasing them? What is the point in being in their company and thinking that they are going to help me one day? None is going to help me. It is just the sweet delusion that I feel that this man, this person is going to help me. In one's greatest hour of need, one stands alone. This is a very powerful statement, like a bombshell. When you realize that none of this world, nobody of this world is going to help me. So I don't have to waste my thoughts in running after people. I don't have to waste my energy in running after things, because these things are not going to be with me when I need them the most. I'll be just like that. In Mahabharata, there's one character, Karna. That Karna, at the time of battle with Arjun, everything failed him. Whatever powers he had, that failed him. Whatever divine weapons he had, that left him. And he was cursed. And his chariot went down into the soil. So that became the cause of his downfall. So this is the stage of human being, where everything what he thought are his supports would fail him. I felt this person, this friendship will help me, but it didn't. So that's why Baba is saying, Father Brahma has merged all the mine into one mine. Mine is one father and none other. This is the first and the last lesson of this university, that think of yourself as a soul and get connected with the Supreme Soul. All the Murlis are just to explain this single, simple point, that you have to connect yourself with the Supreme Soul. Think of soul and connect with Supreme Soul. When we thought of ourselves as body and tried to connect with body, we came to sorrow, we came to frustration, we came to suffering. Nothing of this world ever made us happy. It was just the delusion of happiness. Outside we were smiling and laughing, inside we were sorrowful. Because the very source of happiness is within us. So no amount what we do on the periphery, it's not going to help. All the happiness that comes from periphery. Periphery means body, center means soul. So if this is soul and this is periphery, this is the orbit, any happiness that is coming from orbit will lead to sorrow. Any happiness that comes from the center will be the real happiness, real bliss. So long I enjoy, I'm lost in the enjoyment of the orbit, I'm lost in the enjoyment of the periphery, I cannot achieve that real happiness. And on the periphery, what all things are there? One really need to see yourself as sitting like this, and there is a huge circle around you, and on the circle you will find body, on this circle you will find your relatives, on the circle you will find your friends, on the circle you will find your post, position, wealth, on the circle you will find all the enjoyments, everything related to this world. And we have tried to enjoy everything. We have tried to indulge in everything. But in the ultimate analysis, we came to sorrow. So now it's a time really to learn something from this. Where is real happiness? Is it in these people? It's in the periphery or it's in the center? The entire spirituality is a journey from periphery to the center. When we stop going away from the center, and rather the journey of human being is not the journey from periphery to center, rather it is from center to the periphery. If it is here today, next day he is farther away, next day he is farther away, next day he is farther away. So he is going away and away and away, away from the center. And with the hope that I will get happiness. And the happiness eludes him. How can happiness be there? Because he has taken the journey in the wrong directions. So, come back to center. Coming back to center is to develop detachment from the periphery. To understand what periphery is. To know what all sorrows I got. Just imagine a single vice. For example, lust. For example, lust. From last 63 births, right from the starting of copper age, men have indulged in this. All human beings were drowned in this, remained drowned in this, thinking this is the source of happiness. But what was the result? And Baba said, in the beginning, in the middle and in the end, it gives sorrow. What beginning, what middle and what end? That needs to be churned. Whether it is age, copper age, starting of copper age, middle of copper age, end of copper age, or it is the process, or it is the thought, or it is the emotion. Even the thought, even the emotion is filled with anxiety. It's filled with sense of dissatisfaction. So, indulging in bodily pleasure or flesh gratification ultimately brought one to sorrow, to suffering. Unless and when deeply ponders over the nature of things, how things are happening, one doesn't develop vairag, one doesn't develop detachment. For detachment you need a very strong jerk, a shock, a strong understanding that this is a thing, it's a poison. This is a thing, it's violence. This is a thing which is sin. This is a thing which is against Srimad. This is a thing that has destroyed my life. Unless and until one comes to that realization, one never develops Vairag or all such things. So, whether it is human being, as I said, or things, places, objects, or post, or position, or any name, or fame, or anything of this world, when one realizes that nothing is mine, and I cannot continue calling them mine, it's like a trap. Jagdish Bhai had mentioned in his life story that before meeting God, he used to feel as if he is in the rat trap. And would cry and would plead, beseech, O God, save me from this rat trap of the world. And when somebody is caught and when somebody is in the trap, that person on his own cannot come out. Somebody has to come and free him. So in the similar manner, we are caught in the vice trap, rat trap of these vices. Whether it is lust, whether it is anger, whether it is attachment or anything, or ego. This is a great trap. And unless and until God comes himself, we cannot get rid of this trap. And when he comes, he teaches us, what have you done? What mistakes have you done? So realizing one's mistakes deeply, understanding that what I am doing is not the thing I need to do, coming to the conclusion that what I understand as true is not truth, but is untrue. What appears to me as real happiness is what's a reflection of the ultimate happiness. So, except using the word mine for Baba, whenever we try to use this word for any human being, we are caught. Because when I say, for example, A says to B, you are mine. A says to B, you are mine. What does he mean when he is saying this? A is saying to B, you are mine. Means what? Means I have right over you. Means I am possessive about you. Means nobody else can take you away. If anybody comes in between, he is my enemy. When A says to B, you are mine. You are mine means I cannot give you to anybody. You become my property. So is this a love or something else? Can we call this a love? It's not love then. It is something else. So, trying to understand what real love is if you draw a triangle, you know, this triangle is often mentioned. This was in 12th April 1900 in San Francisco. Swami Vivekananda had given a lecture on love on 12th April 1900, towards the starting of the last century, and today is 12th January. That's why I'm mentioning this. He said love has got three components. If this is love, first thing should be, true love never begs, no begging. There's no question of, you are mine, I am yours, so you will give me this, you will give me that. So So true love never has got any sort of begging. The moment begging comes, that is no love at all. The moment I feel give me this, I love you, you should love me. True love will never ask for love in return. True love is unconditional love. If I love you, I love you for the sake of love. I don't love you because I need something from you, I want something from you. This is the real love. The second, the love has got no fear, true love. And he has given one an example there. You are afraid of dog. A mother is afraid of dog. But suppose the mother is in jungle and she is with her child and all of a sudden the lion comes, then mother would be in the mouth of lion and in order to save that child. So love induces fearlessness. So true love means no fear at all. And third, love is for love's sake. Love for love's sake. It doesn't want anything. It will not ask for anything. No begging. No asking in return anything. And absolutely selflessness. These are the three components of love. If these, any one of, out of these three, any one is missing, it's not love. So, as I was saying, if A is loving B, there are expectations. If A is loving B, there are so many possessiveness in that love. And that love soon deteriorates into physicality. It doesn't remain that pure, non-physical, spiritual, metaphysical, platonic love. There's one term in psychology, it's known as platonic love. Platonic love. Platonic means non-physical. Platonic friendship means non-physical. So, to have that platonic love is the goal. Love doesn't have any goal. Love itself is the means and love itself is the goal. Love is the journey. Love is not the end. So that is a real love. So, what Baba is saying here is, whatever expansion or trap of mine you have created, all this mine had dragged you into that mine of sorrow. So come out of all of this. Realize what is true love. Understand the true love is only for one father. In tomorrow's Avyakta Murli, in Sunday's Avyakta Murli, Baba said, everybody is thirsty for just one drop of love. Without love, this is a world of hopelessness. Without world love, this is a world of without life. Bejan, Berang, whatever you call. So, there is only one thing that fills the soul, and that is divine love, love of God. All other loves of this world, somewhere or other, they will cause sorrow. So thinking this, realizing this, getting filled with that spiritual pride, spiritual intoxication, spiritual self-respect, these are the three words Baba has used in tomorrow's Avyakta Murli. Come out of all this expansion of mine, and get situated in only one slogan. What is that? Mine is one, Father and none other. Baba says, this will increase your concentration. And one more thing about concentration. It's about the power of concentration. If you have got 3 hours to study something, and if you have just 15 minutes to study something, but in this 3 hours your mind is not concentrated, you cannot grasp anything. But if you are just 15 minutes, but your 15 minutes your mind is one-pointed, you can just grasp anything. Sometimes the 5 minutes are better than the 5 hours. You know, in Laukik, it is seen, suppose you have to give one exam and the exam is after 5 months. Nobody studies right from day one. They start study right 5 days before. And they cover their entire syllabus in that 5 days. Because they are focused only in those 5 days. Nobody studies for 5 months. So always remember that time is very less. And always even remember that I am not going to survive for a very long time. I am here for a very short time. Just short time. Maybe 6 months. I have to finish all my work. Life's work. Not more than that. Just I have 6 months. Don't think I have unlimited time. This will induce laziness. Think that I have only 6 months to survive. If you happen to survive after 6 months, probably you have been given 6 months extension. So, just 6 months, not more than that. Finish all your works. Clear all the accounts. Get rid of all the nonsensical bondages. Get rid of all the toxic relationships. Get rid of all the sensual attachments. Get rid of all those things that disturb you. Come out of everything. And just walk. Walking fast. Because time is very less. Forget the time of destruction. Time of your life is very less. So, just 6 months. Not more than that. In 6 months, so many things have to be done. And if you fail to do, then you're gone. So, if order to, again the same thing, in order to become constant and stable angel, so increase the power of concentration. How to increase? Read one thing and try to recall it. Read Murli, close it and try to recall everything what you read. Try so that you increase your concentration. See something, that picture, and try to see, remember what you saw. When you hear any class, immediately after the class, try to remember what else, what all things you heard. They will increase the power of concentration. So, focus. Om Shanti.